Podcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Hello, you. Welcome back to Parkcast. It's a Parkcast colon lockdown edition. So we're joined. We've got Alex here as well, obviously.
Hello.
He's always here. We're on like fancy Zoom technology. We've also got Danny from Theme Park Family.
Who's hey. On the podcast as well. Hello.
Look at this. It's all working. We're in separate, like, we're all in separate counties, and we're all on the podcast together.
Oh, I'm actually at Cedar Point right now. Where are you guys?
Shut up.
Well, just looking through the gate.
Just looking at it and crying.
That's what I'm doing. Well, obviously, yeah, if this is the first time that we've recorded during actual lockdown. So the last podcast we put out, that was what you recorded, Alex, with Sean, didn't you? Which was literally just before it all
we did. The calm before the storm, quite literally. Yeah, it was kind of a late edition episode, but it was nice to still get the facts and information out there at the time of recording that was correct.
Yeah, because then literally 2 days later, everything went kind of mad in this country, and now we're all sort of confined to our homes. But it's good because we are keeping safe. And as I keep reading, we're not stuck at home. We're safe at home.
We are safe at home. Very true. I hope everybody's following the advice, washing their hands, staying indoors, who's listening to this.
Yeah. So obviously, there's not a lot of theme park chat really that we can talk about since that's happened, because the parks have all shut down. But we are going to do a special episode today, and Alex is going to kind of take the lead on this one and walk us through some of his favourite coasters. So that's coming up. But just before that, I just thought, just kind of catch up on from where we left off. So obviously, Alex, on the last podcast, you and Sean had been to Legoland Windsor and you'd sort of sampled their new coaster, and you were off to Chessington, weren't you? And you did actually manage to get to Chessington.
Yeah, we just made it to Chessington in the nick of time. They actually closed after a Thursday day of operation when the whole country started to shut down on the Friday. But we managed to make it there the weekend before. So we never got to see the new area that Chessington were building. However, one of the things we did get to see was the upgraded Toon Blaster, or Toon Blaster, if you're local.
Any good, was it, Alex?
It was very impressive, Danny. Yeah, they had they put a lot of thought and energy into it. A brand new revised soundtrack, a brand new revised story to go with the ride. It was very unique, actually. I know Andy Porter very well, who was Merlin Magic Making, who kind of took the creative lead on that project and managed to turn Toon Blaster into a little bit more of a scary ghost train type ride that it used to be many years ago.
Yeah, so, I did watch the video, and I did notice that the lighting, oh my gosh, they really have dimmed it right down in the station, that's for sure.
Yeah, they wanted to try and make it a little bit more spooky, a little bit more atmospheric, because they said that every park needs a ghost train, and Chessington hasn't got one. I mean, obviously it's got Vampire, which is kind of a dark-natured coaster, but they didn't have anything, you know, that was slightly more menacing for the young adventurers, so they wanted to try and bring Toon Blaster back to its fifth dimension roots and the original Toon Blaster, and make it a little bit more scary. And I think the new audio, dimming the lights and also turning off some of the blasters has definitely added to that experience, for sure.
When you say for the younger audience, though, it's obviously still too scary for me to go on.
Probably, yes. That's the best way. On a scale of 1 to terrified Becca, it's a 7 out of 10, I reckon. But it's
I apologise. I literally snorted down. I do apologise for that.
That's all right. Sorry, bursting out with laughter.
So overall, though, your impressions of Chessington on that day?
Operations were fantastic. The park was ready to go, unfortunately, which is, it's kind of sad, you know. The park was alive, and it felt like the season had rolled around rather than having an extended winter season into nearly summer, as we're doing now, certainly into spring. You know, it felt like the park had really put energy into getting everything ready, getting open on time. And of course, you know, Legoland had already opened, was already in operation, and had a couple of weeks of operation before we even visited. But it was nice to get onto some of the classics at Legoland. Of course, see the new Duplo Dino coaster, which is a very small coaster, but let me tell you one thing about it.
It's a credit.
And it's the first roller coaster to be built at any of the three London Merlin parks since Swarm in 2012, which, when you put that statistic of 8 years on there, is terrifying, really.
Crazy, isn't it, really?
Up and Lego. Yeah, nobody ever really thought about it. And I mentioned it to Sean all about, you know, how is this the first coaster we've had at any of these three Merlin parks in 8 years? But you have to look at some of the other investments we've had in that time, like Derren Brown at Thorpe Park. Of course, we lost the Bubble Works and got Gruffalo at Chessington. We've had lots of re-themes and new attractions, but no new coasters until just now. And I wouldn't say it's a major coaster, but it's certainly a new step for Legoland.
It's a cute coaster from what
I've seen. It's a family's first coaster, I would say. It's a great first coaster to experience at Legoland.
Really nicely themed as well, isn't it? Like, it looks like proper Duplo.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's fresh. The whole area has been revised. And there was a few gaps in that area anyway. So it's kind of filled it out, adding something to it. And some of the other rides in that area have had a bit of a lick of paint too. So it's kind of nice. You know, they've put some new vinyls on the helicopters rides and redone all the pathways, brand new play equipment in that area too. So it's little improvements. It's not anything spectacular, but it's something that's, you know, definitely essential at Legoland. And it was that TLC that the park definitely needed. So I'm pretty happy with it.
And at least you got to a bit of UK park action before the lockdown, which is probably more than most of us could say. I know that I didn't get any.
No, I mean, of course, Blackpool Pleasure Beach opened back in February, and it was great to get back to the Pleasure Beach and ride the classics there as well and see all that. I feel like I'm just rubbing it into Becca here.
I went on a really good day to Blackpool. I went in March, it was. I was supposed to go on the opening weekend, but obviously with Storm Dennis kicking off, I was like, I'm doing
that. Danny, do you want to tell us your general public review of what you did to yourself on Icon on that day as well?
No, I don't.
I think that story's worth sharing, Danny.
I feel like I need to know this.
Oh, Becca, I tell you what. First coaster, the first
ride. You should know the rules.
Icon. And my phone falls out after the second launch. Everything. I've lost everything. They couldn't retrieve it. They couldn't find it or anything. So, yeah, I literally, the next day, I had to go and buy a new phone. And it had all
Did you slow down dispatch?
He did. He slowed down the operation.
The thing is, my enjoyment during the entire ride there was just with an angry face. supposed to be enjoying it. It's my first coaster. It's my first ride of the season. And there's me with a sad face like, yeah, great.
Did you buy the on-ride photo for that?
Oh, there it is. That's the salt in the wound.
I could just imagine the evils you were getting from the crowd in the queue line when it fell out and people thinking, yep, here we go.
the people behind me were saying, oh, I think you've lost your phone, mate. And I goes, no, I don't think I know I've lost my phone.
Why was it not in a zipped pocket?
Well, I thought it was zipped up. That's the best bit about it, but clear.
What part of the queue line audio did you miss where it says about securing loose articles?
I know.
I've been stood in the Icon queue line with Alex, and he can actually recite the entire Icon queue line audio.
I'm not going to do it now if that was a hint.
If I can't do that now. You can do it. No, go on.
I mean, I'm on the spot now and you know, I'm not in the moment. I feel like I have to be
How does it start? Is it like, welcome to Icon?
No, it's weird because it doesn't really have a start. It's just kind of repetitive almost. It's not as bad as some other rides, but it basically says, you know, take your seat and pull down your overhead restraint. Secure all loose articles and clothing.
That was a bit I missed.
Danny didn't hear, maybe switched off at the time, but
you
were so excited to get back on Icon. I mean, you know, at least you've been on it this year. At least you've been on, I say you've been on the coaster. Beck has at least been to Epcot and Fantasia Land this year.
Exactly. I've been on a coaster in 2020, so that's what I want to know. Which element did you lose it?
It's after the second launch, you know, when you come back on yourself.
The Immelman.
That's the one. Yeah. So yeah, I lost it.
Do you know the best way to say that word Immelman is in a Chris Tarrant impression? I just imagine him kind of saying it like Immelman. You know, Immelman. It's the sort of thing that he'd say on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Like, you know, which part of Icon did Danny lose his phone on? Was it A, the first launch? B, the second launch? C, the third element? And let me think of an immersion. Or D, the Immelman. I just feel like it has that kind of that Chris Tarrant voice to it. Immelman.
Imagine if that was the million-pound question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Oh,
on which element did he lose his phone on? The Immelman.
Enough now. Let's just move on.
Anyway, so it sounds like you had a great day there.
Yes, it was.
Can we just talk about the cruel irony of how sunny it is at the moment and we can't get to any theme parks?
I know.
Isn't it ridiculous though?
The weather
April
is delicious.
Is never like this.
On the day of recording this, I'm looking currently, it's 23 degrees outside right now.
It's such perfect coaster weather, isn't it? I mean, it's just ideal.
And with this being recorded over Easter weekend too, you have to imagine how populated those parks would have been with the sunshine. It's the first good Easter weekend we've had in years.
That's the only thing, I suppose. It would be like busy, but even so, like the last couple of weeks, it's not rained really or anything, has it?
I'd wait 3 hours for Octonauts just to get on a coaster right now. I feel that I'm at that point, Becca and Danny. Like, I feel like I could wait for anything just to say I've got my coaster fix. It's killing
me. What do you reckon is going to be your first out of isolation coaster fix?
Do you know, I'm going to stick with the answer I've been given on Instagram a lot recently, but it's going to have to be Nemesis for me. Having Alton Towers on the doorstep, it's got to be an Alton coaster, and having Nemesis there, it's got to be Nemesis for me. Simple. Yeah, what about you, Danny?
Say the same, because it's like my local park and stuff. I'd definitely say probably the Smiler, for sure, definitely. I need to get upside down and stuff, yeah.
Becca, I don't think we've ever covered what your local park is.
My local park right now is Fancy Island. I'm not going to say that Jubilee is going to be on Jubilee. Honestly, is going to be my first coaster out of isolation.
You're going to travel elsewhere to get on something different.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm. I went to Towers probably the most out of any park last year, so I'm not like itching to go back there. I probably want to go to Blackpool the way that the weather is at the moment, because to me Blackpool's like, it's great on a sunny day. It's just one of those parks that on a sunny day, and you've got the beach there and the sea, and everything's amazing. Definitely. Everything's amazing.
And I the day of us recording this would have actually been a late night riding at Pleasure Beach too, as well today. You know, really just to rub salt in that wound a little bit today. It would, 24 degrees in the late night riding event would have been absolutely sensational. I'm pretty sure we'd have all been there today. I mean,
it would have been amazing.
The thing is, you're going to get to miss that atmosphere, and it really is going to make you appreciate the parks and the ability just to go out and explore them. I mean, I think it's worth touching on as well that, I mean, I have a Merlin annual pass and a Blackpool Pleasure Beach season pass, and I've had emails from both of them recently informing me that with the Merlin pass, they're going to add the number of days missed through COVID-19 onto the end of the pass, which is really good.
Yeah.
And also with the Blackpool season pass, they've given you two options. They've either said you can forget about having the pass for 2020 and they'll just give you a pass for 2021, but you won't be able to use it for the rest of this year once they reopen.
Right.
Or they're going to take the amount of days that you couldn't use the pass as a percentage, and you're going to get that percentage as discount off of your 2021 pass, which I think is amazing. I think
fair
play to the Pleasure Beach.
It could end up being a lot.
Yeah, it could be, especially if the parks are closed, you know, hopefully not for as long as the end of summer. But, you know, to have that percentage of discount, I mean, the passes aren't particularly expensive anyway if you buy them
It's two or three visits, isn't it? Especially when you bought yours.
I pay the renewal price, which is £89 for my pass.
Bargain.
You can get it for 90 if you buy it in October for the next season anyway, which is really worth knowing. But, I mean, it's good that these parks are already putting in procedures just to protect their guest return visits, and, you know, hoping that people will return to the parks once they reopen. But to be honest, I don't think the parks are going to struggle when they reopen. I think a lot of the public who maybe haven't been to Alton and Blackpool for many years will return just for the sake of getting outside and getting to experience something different.
Big queues.
You realise what you're missing, don't you?
Of course you do.
Can't have it. You're like, oh, now I want to go and do that because I can't do it anymore.
I'm just missing a takeaway. I mean, I don't know about where you are, but there's none open near me.
Oh no, we can get takeaways. No, we're fine with takeaways.
We've got some takeaways, not all of them.
But it really makes you appreciate everything around you. I mean, you know,
it's just even genuine like this now, chatting away and seeing people and shaking their hands or giving someone a cuddle or seeing your family members. You know, it's stuff like that. You know, sad.
And I think one thing to take in mind from this as well is that when we are able to step into theme parks again, we aren't just going to be able to step in there with, you know, like it never happened. I feel like there's still going to be, you know, social distancing involved, restrictions, hand sanitizing stations around the park, and, you know, many other protective equipment in place just for, you know, guest safety, staff safety, and environmental safety as well. You know, I think that's paramount for all these parks. But
I think from now on, we won't ever go back to how we were. We'll always be conscious of who's touched what and what's that. Is that clean? And just, you know, every time someone coughs from now on, I think we're going to be like, ooh.
It's going to be that superstition.
Go away.
Of course it's not.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting times. It's the most bizarre thing to live through, really, isn't it?
But definitely,
we have to remember that they will reopen and everything will be good. I mean, I, on a personal note, I'm of course totally gutted because the Cedar Point trip, which I literally waited 20 years to book, I booked literally 3 days before the pandemic was announced.
Becca,
I bit the bullet and I was like, that's it, I'm going to Cedar Point this year, I don't care. So I booked it to go at the end of May.
You were so close.
For a week.
Oh, no. I feel so sad. 20
years I waited to book that trip and it's not going to happen. But, you know, what it can you what do?
And the difficulty with Cedar Point is you can't just go year round either. You can't just go in certain times because Ohio, the particular part where the park is located of Ohio, has a severe weather problems most months of the year.
Well, it's practically Canada. Like we were actually going to fly to Canada and drive from Toronto to Cedar Point. Yeah, because it's about, I think it's about a 5-hour drive, but it saves having connecting flights.
Definitely. I'm surprised when you're in Toronto you didn't want to visit Canada's Wonderland as well, just to tick that one off your list. But
well, it's just, it's one of them where it's just,
then you have to jeopardize a day at Cedar Point.
And I just want to get that done. I want to get as many days there as possible because I've just waited so long to go there.
Of course.
But yeah, and this is the thing, it's like if the airline says, oh well, we can rebook you or whatever, well I don't want to go in July or August because it's just gonna be rammed. And then it shuts like mid-October, and it's only open at weekends in September.
It's got the shortest operating season of pretty much any US theme park, any theme park worldwide, to be honest.
It's crazy.
It's really
Becca, how long were you going to go for? Were you going to go for a few days or were you going for a week?
Yeah, we 4 days.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about doing, 4 days next year.
Yeah, 4 days. We were going to buy, it was like, to be fair, the package was really good. It was included the staying at one of the on-site hotels and it was like a gold pass for Cedar Point, so it's unlimited entry for a year, which obviously...
It apparently works out cheaper than the actual buying the ticket as well,
It just works out the best way to do it. But yeah, it was literally all booked down to like getting food passes and drinks passes and hire cars. Everything was booked 3 days before. They were like, right, it's actually a worldwide pandemic and it's hitting Britain, and then after that, everything just went crazy. So we'll see. We don't know what's going to happen yet in terms of what we've booked and what we've paid to Cedar Point. We're thinking it depends when Cedar Point opens, really, if they're going to refund it, or we just don't know because it's in America. Yeah. Like America isn't on the same lockdown necessarily as us. They might decide that they want to lift their lockdown and then everything's open. But
I think America will actually lift their lockdown sooner than most of the world, to be honest. As much as they've got some of the worst pandemics, they're all about their operations. So for them, I can actually see that being relatively soon. So if people are looking to travel, I'm due to fly to Florida in September. I'm still holding out hope that that trip may go ahead, even with restrictions.
I think by September, you've definitely got a chance.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. You don't think they're going to not let this year go by?
I don't think you can ban international travel for
that long.
6 months. No. And it's too...
Yeah, it'll cripple it.
It's too destructive to do that.
And if people really want to be able to have that freedom back... All it takes is everybody to obey the rules. It really,
it's
critical. It's critical that people do wash their hands, keep the social distance, and stay in their homes. No matter where you're listening to this around the world, I'm pretty sure every country in the world has got their own policies and procedures in. We all want to be able to celebrate. And, you know, for a small example, we want to be able to host this podcast again all together in the same environment.
That's what we're going to do when we're out of lockdown. Maybe we'll be on towers. Maybe we'll just go there first.
And we'll just meet up and we'll do a recording for all of you guys. It'll be brilliant. Yeah. But I am going to draw this conversation to a close. Because I feel like otherwise you guys are going to get too emotional. I feel like I'm going to destroy your Cedar Point dreams if I get into it too much. But thank you, Becca and Danny, for chatting with me today.
No worries.
No, it's all good. And it's good to sort of catch up is what you've got to do at the moment. And I think we're going to try and do some more of these, aren't we? So
definitely.
Try and get some more of these episodes out during lockdown. Try and get some more people on them. Now that we've got the technology, we have the technology.
And we're going to keep people entertained as best as we can.
Yes. But for now, then, we're going to hand over to you, Alex. And something different, something to keep us entertained through the lockdown. You're going to talk us through your top 25 coasters.
Indeed, I am.
But we're going to start off with, on this episode, you're going to do 25 down to 10.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Are you ready? Are you ready for the list?
If you haven't got a cup of tea yet, go and make yourself a cup of tea. Grab a whole pack of biscuits or two. And Alex is going to talk you through his top 25 coasters.
It's time to count down.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
Number 25 for me is Thunderbird at Holiday World and Splash and Safari. It is a B&M wing coaster that's operated at the park since 2015. Has a track length of 3,035 feet, maximum height of 140 feet, and travels at 60 miles per hour and has four inversions. Absolutely incredible coaster this. Has a launch, very, very special LSM launch that launches to 60 miles in just over 3 seconds. And let me tell you, this coaster is so smooth, so re-rideable, and has some great scenery and some great theming located around, including a shed that you travel through. It's absolutely wonderful. I can't sell it enough. Holiday World, Thunderbird, absolutely tremendous coaster to have at number 25. At number 24 is Screaming Eagle at Six Flags St. Louis. It's a Philadelphia Toboggan Coaster's wooden ride that has operated at the park since 1976. Has a total track length of 3,872 feet, a height of 110 feet, a drop of 92 feet, zero inversions, and a top speed of 62 miles per hour with a chain lift hill. Now, this coaster is absolutely incredible. I remember riding it for the first time thinking, oh my goodness, what's it going to be? A very interesting looking Woody in the fields at the back of the park. And let me tell you, Screaming Eagle did not disappoint. Six Flags St. Louis have got an incredible coaster here. It's got an amazing archway entrance sign. It's got a nice dedicated plaque to celebrate the heritage of the coaster. And let me tell you, it is a screaming machine. It's so wonderful. It makes a lot of noise. Classic Woody, cannot complain. That truly deserves the number 24 spot. At number 23 is Behemoth at Canada's Wonderland. This is a B&M hypercoaster that's operated at the park since 2008. Has a total track length of 5,318 feet, a height of 230 feet, and a top speed of 77 miles an hour. Now, three trains operate on this coaster with 8 cars per train. Riders are arranged 4 across in a single row, which means 32 riders per train. And let me tell you, it was installed by Martin and Vlemix, and it cost in Canadian dollars, $26 million. And it is described as a land monster because of the land it occupies. Some people call it a bit of a car park coaster because it's on concrete, but let me tell you, this ride does not disappoint. It's one of the best B&M hypercoasters I have ever been on. Absolutely sensational. Even though, of course, you've got Leviathan in the park, Behemoth, for me, is the hypercoaster at Canada's Wonderland that I enjoy the most. In at number 22 is Verbolten at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Now, this coaster has operated at the park since 2012 and is a zero double launch coaster. It's got 2 LSM launches and includes a vertical drop track, which is 18 foot. And let me tell you, it's one of the most intense drop track elements on any ride I've ever done in my life. Absolutely thrilling, absolutely great fun, and it's got sort of really unique and interesting theme too with the cars theming around, and of course a great indoor section that really finishes this coaster off nicely and gives it the number 22 spot on my top 25 tier list. In at number 21 is the Great American Scream Machine at Six Flags Over Georgia. Once again, another Philadelphia Toboggan Coaster has made it into my top 25 list. Now, this incredible Woody has operated at the park since 1973, has a total track length of 3,450 feet, a maximum height of 105 feet, a drop of 89 feet, and top speed of 57 miles per hour with a chain lift hill. The duration of this coaster is approximately 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and let me tell you, this coaster is a beast. Absolutely wonderful. Philadelphia Toboggan Coasters build some of the best Woodies in the entire world, and let me tell you, I was well and truly blown away by this ride at Six Flags Over Georgia. I absolutely fell in love with it. I think it's amazing. The park are very fortunate to have it on their coaster category list. And yeah, I recommend anybody goes out and ride the Great American Scream Machine at Six Flags Over Georgia. Coming up next then, at number 20 is Mystery Mine at Dollywood, which is the park's Gerstlauer Eurofighter coaster that's operated since 2007. The coaster's total length is 1,804.5 feet, has a maximum height of 85.3 feet, and travels at a top speed of 43.5 miles per hour, featuring 2 inversions, including a vertical angle of 95 degrees, and a total coaster length of approximately 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So there's 7 cars on the coaster in total. Riders are arranged 4 across in 2 rows for a total of 8 riders per vehicle. And let me tell you, you'd think you're on a dark ride to begin with. This coaster packs a punch. It's thrilling, it's intense. It costs $17.5 million to build and can have a capacity of up to 1,000 riders per hour. But let me tell you, you want to get to Dollywood and ride Mystery Mine. It is truly sensational. One of the greatest Eurofighter coasters in the entire world. Is that a spoiler for later on in the top 25? Who knows? But yes, absolutely wonderful. It's got some cool dark ride elements and some cool fire effects on there when they're working too, which really add to the unique experience that Mystery Mine creates here at Dollywood. So in at number 19 is Magnum XL200, which is an aerodynamics hypercoaster that's been operating at the park since 1989. The total track length is 5,106 feet. A total height of 205 feet, a drop of 194.7 feet, and a total top speed of 72 miles per hour with zero inversions. The coaster lasts for about 2 minutes, but let me tell you, towards the end of this coaster, there's many bunny hops and airtime hills, and let me tell you, I've never been thrown out of a coaster seat as much in my entire life as what I have on Magnum XL200. Absolutely classic aero coaster. It's a shame they're not built anymore like they used to be, any of the steel coasters we have today, but it's a classic that deserves to be celebrated more than it is, and is a worthy 19th spot on my top 25 coasters worldwide, and it only cost $8 million to build at the time. It was designed by Ron Toomer. In at number 18 is Phoenix at Knoebels Amusement Resort, the park's Philadelphia Toboggan Coaster that's been operating since 1985, with a total track length of 3,200 feet, a height of 78 feet and a drop of 72 feet and a top speed of 45 miles per hour. You might not expect from these statistics that this coaster is offering much of an experience, but let me tell you, that is completely wrong. It's one of the most unique and thrilling rides in the entire world. An intense, unsmooth Woody is exactly what people enjoy at these parks, and Knoebels have really delivered with Phoenix. Of course, it was formerly known as Rocket at Playland Park before it moved to Knoebels in 1985, but let me tell you, this coaster is absolutely sensational, and we are very, very lucky to have it in the world. It continues to win the Golden Ticket Award, and there's no understanding as to why for some people, but I will give you an exact reason why. You are ejected from your seat so much by this Woody, you barely even want to put your hands up in the air because it's so intense, you want to hold on for dear life. It's got a double out and back layout, but don't you know about it, because you're roaring through the corners and bank turns on that coaster quicker than anything you could imagine. 45 miles an hour doesn't sound that fast, but when you're on a rickety rough Woody, there is no feeling quite like traveling fast on those rides. It is absolutely sensational and a well worthy winner in the top spots of this coaster countdown. In at number 17 is Beast at King's Island, which has been operating at the park since 1979, making it one of the oldest coasters on this top 25 list. It's a wooden terrain coaster with a track length of 7,359 feet, a highest point of 110 feet and a drop of 141 feet, with a top speed of 64.8 miles per hour. Zero inversions, a 45 degree vertical angle, and a total coaster length of 4 minutes on 10 seconds. Wow, some real incredible statistics there. Let me just talk you through some of the amazing elements that are on this coaster. You've got a 110 foot tall chain lift hill with a 135 foot drop, a second chain lift hill with a 141 foot drop at 18 degrees, and a 540 degree helix. And let me tell you, this helix is so unbelievable. Unfortunately, when I got to ride Beast, I didn't get to experience it at night time, but I've heard that that helix is something else when it's being ridden in the dark, and I do recommend you all go and ride this Philadelphia Toboggan Classic. In at number 16, we go back to Cedar Point with Maverick, the Intamin Blitz coaster that operated at the park since 2007. It's got a total track length of 4,450 feet, a height of 105 feet, a drop of 100 feet, and the top speed of 70 miles per hour, including two LSM launches and two overbank curves. Absolutely sensational ride, Maverick. It is spoilt slightly by its over-the-shoulder restraints, or the OTSRs, as most enthusiasts would like to refer to them as. But let me tell you, this coaster is a dream machine. It flies around the track, and it's amazing some of the views of Cedar Point you get whilst travelling around it. It's got some very unique and weird elements, some very interesting bank turns, including a twisted horseshoe roll, which is absolutely bizarre. But let me tell you, it does not take away from how fun this ride is. It cost $21 million to build at the park, and once again has operated since 2007, earning it a worthy 16th place on my top 25 coaster list. In at number 15 then is Great Bear at Hershey Park, the park's B&M inverted coaster that's operated since 1998. It's got a total track length of 2,800 feet, a height of 90 feet, a drop of 124 feet, and a total top speed of 58 miles an hour with four inversions, and a total time of 2 minutes and 55 seconds. This coaster is unbelievable, and it is the greatest B&M inverted coaster I have ever been on. Absolutely incredible. Of course, I'm very fortunate to have Nemesis on my doorstep here in the UK, but I would love it if Nemesis was more like Great Bear. Some of the G's that you pull moving around, some of the elements on that coaster, of course, some of the views and the scenery you get of Hershey Park too, but some of the bank turns and the twist. The zero G roll is one of the most insane zero G rolls on any coaster in the world, and is a worthy winner of the 15th spot on my top 25 coaster list. In at number 14 then is Takabisha over at Fuji-Q Highlands in Japan. This is the park's Gerstlauer Eurofighter and has operated at the park since 2011. It's got a total track length of 3,280 feet, a height of 141 feet, a top speed of 62.1 miles an hour featuring 7 inversions, and at the time when I rode it was the steepest roller coaster in the world with a 121 degree vertical drop. Now, let me just give you a rundown of some of the elements of this coaster before I tell you my thoughts. It's got a heartline roll, an LSM launch, which is rolling, a corkscrew, a banana roll, another corkscrew, a vertical chain lift hill, a dive loop, a top hat that's inside, and an Immelmann. This coaster is wonderful, and if you don't know, Takabisha actually translates from Japanese to the word dominant, and this coaster certainly is dominant. Absolutely wonderful. Typical Gerstlauer Eurofighter-style trains. But let me tell you, this ride is a beast. It's a bit of a car park coaster. Again, it's located just on a patch of cement towards the side of the park, but does not disappoint. Of course, been followed by the coaster at the American Dream Mall in the Nickelodeon universe in terms of the world record for the steepest drop. But at the time when I rode it, let me tell you, this ride was a machine. In at number 13 then is Mako at SeaWorld Orlando, the park's B&M hypercoaster that's operated since 2016. It's got a total track length of 4,760 feet, a height of 200 feet and a drop of 200 feet, and a top speed of 73 miles per hour. Now, one of the things I will say straight away about this ride, it is slightly foiled by its block brake on the mid-course halfway around the coaster. It does take away some of the momentum that you're building up on the ride, which is why it doesn't rank higher than it probably deserves to on this coaster list, which is me being really, really mean, but is an absolutely sensational ride. SeaWorld Orlando are very fortunate to have this beast of a coaster built by B&M. It's an out and back layout, but it's absolutely wonderful. It corners one of the top ends of the park, and you get some incredible elements that go over water. So Mako, congratulations, you have earned the number 13 position. Unlucky for some, but not for SeaWorld. In at number 12, this is a very interesting entry onto this list, is Wildfire at Kolmarden, which is a Rocky Mountain Construction top of track coaster which has operated at the park since 2016. Let me give you some statistics here. Total track length of 4,150 feet, a height of 183.8 feet, a drop of 160.8 feet, and a top speed of 71.5 miles an hour with 3 inversions. So this hybrid coaster is unlike any coaster you've ever ridden before in your entire life. It's even billed by the park as the greatest wooden roller coaster on earth. Now, if you'd have asked me in 2017 when I rode it for the very first time, I would have completely agreed, as it was once my number one roller coaster worldwide. However, unfortunately, it's been pushed quite far back to the number 12 position, but it's still absolutely wonderful. It cost 110 million SEK to build and was designed by Alan Schliecki. In at number 11, just missing out on that top 10 spot, is Phantom's Revenge at Kennywood, the park's aerodynamics hypercoaster, which has operated since 1991, formerly under the name of Steel Phantom, built by Morgan Rides. The original 4 loops from the coaster had been removed. The height remained the same, as the lift hill was unchanged on the coaster. The drop was increased from 225 to 228 feet. The length was increased from 3,000 to 3,200 feet, and the original ride time was 2 minutes 15 seconds, so it actually lost 17 seconds of time across the whole coaster. Now, Kennywood is a very unique park. It's got some very classic amusement park attraction rides, but Phantom's Revenge truly deserves to be in the top 10, but unfortunately just missed out obtaining the number 11 spot.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.